very controversial topic. This Sefer, you should know, is just an absolutely fantastic Sefer. It's very hard to find a book like this, Sefer like this, where it lays out all the Yesodos for very controversial topics and has a lot of names to back up every opinion, back and forth. Nothing is, of course, halacha l'maisa, but you know, there are a lot of challenging issues in this generation, and it's hard to find a person that can lay it out for you with such clarity and provide all of the various sources. So here's a shaila. It's a very old shaila. Is artificial insemination in halacha asur or mutter? Now, there are many varieties in this of this type of shaila. Today, we all know about different organizations like Eitim, Bnei Olam, and other types of Pua Institute. There are many different organizations that specialize in these matters, and literally every day there's new technology that comes forth which changes the potential for people that have not yet had children can have children. Now, a lot of the shaylos today are not what the famous machlokes between Rav Moshe and Rav Sadma Rebbe were all about, because today we don't know what's going on privately, but many of the things that are done today is we're dealing with a husband and wife. They are taking the zera of the husband and they are using it to make his wife, this man's wife, pregnant. So it's ishus, it's husband, wife, it's just a technique. It's not done in a normal, in a natural way. It's done through technology, but it's still, this is the husband, this is the wife. There is nothing external. They're not taking zera from a bank, from a non-Jew, from a Jew, from someone that we don't even know who it is. Maybe it's a Jew, maybe it's not Jew. It's being done between husband and wife. And then there are different shilas of how it should be done. There are different techniques, different new types of technology. Even men that seemingly have a very low sperm count, they're able to do incredible things to find zera where even under the microscope it would appear there is no zera. They have incredible things they're able to do.
All
but
you
again,
need is one.
What?
All you need is one.
And there are in the small sample, there are like millions, right? Hundreds of millions. And even though naturally, if it's not going to be hundreds of millions, it's not going to happen. If they can find even one, they're able to make a woman have a child. They're able to assist in this process. Now, those are separate issues, and in those issues, there are different shilas. Is a woman allowed to be a nida when they do this process? Is a woman allowed?
Why not?
These are all different shilas. There are many different rabbanim, different organizations that deal with all these shilas. There are many different things. That's not really the topic of discussion. The topic of discussion over here is we're dealing with a husband that cannot have children. The husband is infertile 100%, and the technology at the time or whatever is such where there's nothing they can do to make this woman have a child through the zera of her husband, because her husband does not have zera. So the next best thing is to take zera from another person, from a bank. Now, Shaila is, if you're just taking from an anonymous bank, that zera might really be from a Jew, or it might be from a non-Jew. So we can work it out that it can be only from a non-Jew, or we can follow Roiv, go bus a roiv, and it can be from a non-Jew. Is this in halacha mutter or aser? Now the bottom line over here is you go to this chapter. Basically, every single pesuk he quotes says aser, 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 aser. The biggest pesuk you ever heard of. The Satmar Rav Pashut. According to the Satmar Rav, the child's a mamzer. She writes the child is mamish or mamzer. You take zera from a non-Jew and a woman who has a child, a married woman, the child's a mamzer. Why is the child a mamzer? She had to be with from a non-Jew. I don't know. He writes the Charles of Moms. Don't ask me. The Sadner is in a league to himself in the degree, the words, the Sadner Rav uses to describe the prohibition of doing such a thing is really in a category to itself.
What happens if a woman is raped by a...
No. The child is a Jew. It's against her will. It was done against her will, so there's no problem. I don't know how literally means to his words are. Now, besides the Satmar Rav, everyone says it's Aser. The Tzitz Eliezer famous, famous Pesach. He was a Goyen. He was Nifted not that long ago. Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg. He's also, I'm working backwards. He holds that it's Aser. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach. He also, Lamaskana, held it was Aser. Rabbi Henkin held it was Aser. There was a Rav, one of the first people who discussed the Shiloh was in 1932. It was the first modern question in this matter from the Ma'arichei Leif by Rabbi Cyrilson. Yehuda Leib Tzirilson. He also Lemaskana Paskin that it's Osir. You go through every single Pesach here that he touches. The Bubba Rebbe, Tzitz Eliezer, the Satmarov, Shlomo Zalman Arbach, who else? And Tzirilson, that's 35. There's even more. There are more Pesachim of Shmuel Wozner. Recently, not that long ago, Osir. Everyone paskins that it's Osir. The only one that says that it's Mutter is Rav Moshe Feinstein. And there's no question about it. Today, all of the students, the people who are students of the other Rabbanim, there is a very, I don't really know, because it's an extreme step to take from a non-Jew to have a child. But Rav Moshe is very strong. He did not let up. Rav Moshe was very clear. It's mutter. There is absolutely no prohibition in doing this. I mean, not at least. Rav Moshe does say he wrote a tshuva later on, many years after his original tshuva, that he only meant to say that it's mutter b'shas hatchak gadol, when the parents, they don't want to adopt, or this and that, and there's no other solution, and the husband's not going to be upset. There are a lot of, but me'ikar hadin, Rav Moshe maintained his shita that it is mutter, and he pushed off all criticism. He took a lot of flack. He took a lot of pressure. They came down on him very, very hard that he should reconsider. He should change the Pesach Halacha. But Rav Moshe was strong that it is mutter for a woman whose husband cannot father a child to take zera from a non-Jew to have a child of her own. All the other Poskim disagree. Now, what are the issues? What are the issues of why Rav Moshe came to pass? Rav Moshe basically says it comes from Rabbeinu Peretz. There's a Shita Rabbeinu Peretz, and this Rabbeinu Peretz is cited by the Bach and the Taz. Rabbeinu Peretz discusses, it's a Rishon, it really all comes from him, discusses a woman, the Halacha, a Minhag, that a woman should not lie down on a bed that was previously occupied by a man who is not her husband. Let's say a person, a woman, you have a guest in your home, and there's a man, you put up a man. Welcome to Ambati. Here's the Rabbeinu Peretz, not discussing Ambati. Ambati, the only time the Gemara talks about Ambati is for a Kohen Gadol. We'll come to that in a moment. But Rabbeinu Peretz says, there's a Haminog. If you have a guest in your home, a man, he stays overnight, and you don't want to wash out the linen, and the wife wants to then use his bed and lie down on the mattress, lie down on the sheets, she is not allowed to. Why not? Because somehow it may happen that there was zera on the sheets. Okay, it may seem to us very bizarre, and it is very bizarre to us, but somehow it may be that there was shichra zera on the sheets due to an emission that this man had, and it will somehow enter into her erva, and she will become pregnant. So what? What's the problem if this indeed happens? So this is the key words. Rabbeinu Peretz says, there's no real problem. The only problem is, this woman now will have a child from that man. And that means that she will have two children, let's say other children from her husband, and will also be carrying a child from a different man. People are going to think they're all her children from her husband. They're not going to realize that this child's father, who the child's real father is, and that child may one day come marry his half-sister, or may marry a niece, uncle, relative. There'll be confusion in future shidduchim. On the shidduch resume, it's not going to be accurate exactly who the person's father is, and it may lead to a shaila of arayos. That's Rabbeinu Peretz. So the question is, wait a minute, something is much more fundamental. If this woman lies down on this bed and becomes pregnant from the zera of another man, so she now has committed an act of adultery. She has now has a child and therefore she has to get divorced. The child's a mamzer. Let's the child should be a mamzer. Okay, she is an eshes ish, and she has conceived of a child from a man other than her husband. The child is a mamzer. Child's a mamzer. She has committed an avera of arayos. If she's a kohen, married to a kohen, she would have to get divorced. And if she did this willingly, let's say she lied on the bed willingly. So there's another discussion. So maybe that's like an act of arayos, and she becomes also lebala. Rabbeinu Peretz makes
this?
This is Rav Moshe speaking.
No, but who's
the Shach and the Tad, the Bach and the Taz. He mentions that, I can't remember all the details. She does it willingly. That's the Ambati case. The woman goes into the Ambati knowingly, knowing that there is Zera in the bath, and becomes pregnant. So that's called the Mice of Arayos.
How do you know she's pregnant? Maybe it's from the husband.
Let's say the husband's out of town. So in Yechlam, we don't know. Maybe the husband's out of town. The husband's out of town. So the only way she became pregnant was through the Zera coming into her body. This is the Shach and the Tas. Rabbeinu Peretz makes it very clear that the only problem is the need to identify the child's father. There is no issue of mamzerus. There is no issue of arayos. So from this, based on the Bach and the Taz, Rav Moshe says, you see from this that a woman who fathers a child through artificial insemination has not done an act of arayos. She is an eshes ish. She has brought into her erva zera from that is not her husband. It's not considered to be an act of arayos. And the child, the only issue is who is the child's father. So if the child's father is a Jew, we have the problem of Rabbeinu Peretz. This child, or according to Rav Moshe, according to Rabbeinu Peretz, does have a Jewish father, and that has a nafka mina lahalacha. He may not marry the relatives from his father. That would be his sister, that would be his cousins, it would be his whatever, uncle, and v'chulu v'chulu. So that would be an issue. But if the father is a goy, is a non-Jew, then it doesn't count. Because if a woman conceives from a non-Jew, there is no father, period. And the only one we have to worry about are the relatives of the mother. So Rav Moshe says, so just make sure that the zera that's being used to make this woman pregnant is coming from a non-Jew. It's not coming from a Jew. Now, if you can know it's a non-Jew, that's fine. If you can't know today, I think in America it's probably illegal. They have probably banks, anonymous banks, but it's not necessarily a shot because you go Basarayf. And since most of the zera comes from non-Jews, so you have a right to assume it's okay. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael it's better. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael they have a way of working it out. That's why they have all these different, the Poo Institute, there are different types of organizations which probably are able to be mahadir in these in Yonim.
I don't know, you're making an assumption. You're saying, you go to Poo and you say, I want a Palestinian terrorist zera?
I'm sure they've worked it all out. They've worked out how the technicalities of how this thing. This is the Rabbeinu Peretz. Now, there's another important thing to keep in mind, which is a Rambam. The Rambam discusses the Maisa of Ishus. And the Rambam says there are two parts to Ishus. There is physical contact, and there is Zera, the transfer of Zera. The Rambam explicitly says that the Maisa of the Chiyuv of Karis, the entire parish of Arayis, is all the physical contact. The transfer of Zera is nothing, has absolutely no real consequence in the laws of Arayos. And that goes both ways. If you take the Rambam that means that if a person, let's say, has no Zera, and he has physical contact with an erva, he's chayiv misa, he's chayiv karis, he's done an avera. Oh, but there is no zera, there is no, doesn't make a difference. Now, the Rambam explicitly, I'll write the read the words of the Rambam, v'ein lehoitzoas shichva zera, be'inyun chiyuv ha'oinshin srach. Consequence, absolutely zero consequence is the fact that there is zera. B'shum ponim, the Rambam is so explicit in this matter. Ela kevan shehichnes ha'ever yischayiv ha'oinish sholach va'afilu perish miyat. It's purely physical contact. Therefore, Rav Moshe and many other poskim take this by extension. It goes both ways. L'chomra u'l'kula. L'chomra, if there's no zera, there's a chiyuv karis for having an illicit relationship, illicit relations. But if you just transfer the zera, without there being any physical contact, that is not a Maisa Erva. Rabbeinu Peretz says it might not be a Maisa Erva, but it is a Yichus of the father. The father is the Zerah, but has a Yichus. That's a Chiddush also to say such a thing, that the Zerah is still a Miyuchus. We know who the father is. And therefore, when your child is conceived, we have to know who this father is. And therefore, since it's not so clear to the Hamayna who the father is, it may lead in the future to Shilas of Mamzerus. It may lead to Shilas of Arayus. So therefore, it's not a good idea. But if you take it from a Goy, Rav Moshe says, you avoid the Shilas, the problem of... You avoid the problem of Rabbeinu Peretz, you avoid Rabbeinu Peretz's problem, and you're back with the Rambam, and it is mutter. And Rav Moshe is very strong on the Shita, and there are even more riots. There are more riots to this Shita, period. Everyone, however, disagrees with this Shita of Rav Moshe, starting with the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rav is a very big chiddush, because he quotes a Chidah. He takes the Chidah, and the Chidah discusses this Rabbeinu Peretz in great detail, and the Chidah has a different version of this Rabbeinu Peretz. An entirely different version, and his version, I don't have the details, I didn't look it up, it comes out that it would be also the Maisa of transfer of Zera in and of itself would be considered to be, in his opinion, a Maisa Ishus, and that would make the baby, even possibly if it's a Jewish father, it would make the baby into a mamzer if she does this willingly. It's a very chiddush. Non-Jewish. But he holds it's a Maisa, it's also. Okay. I don't know. The Satmarov has it, he works with the Chidah. He wrote an article in the journal Hamor, strongly disagreeing with Rav Moshe. And again, the Satmar Rav is only discussing taking from a guy. The Satmar Rav is not discussing taking from husband. The husband and wife, what they do today, deruba, is we're not dealing with taking from outside. We're dealing with taking from the husband and working it up and then making the wife pregnant. That's a whole different world. And that, there's much, much more grounds for leniency, even in the sheet of the Satmarov. Even with all the chumras of the Satmarov, there's much, much more grounds for leniency because you're not taking zera from a third party. Now, there's also a sheet from Rav Shlomo of London. This is a Rishon. Okay, Shlomo of London, he says, he's a Rishon as well. And he says, he writes, that a woman who is in Nida, is not allowed to bathe in a bathtub in which her husband has bathed. Why not? Shav Shlomo, because there may be in this body of water the zera of her husband. And when this woman bathes in this tub, that zera may enter her body, she may become pregnant, and she's becoming pregnant now when she is in Nida. And becoming pregnant when you're in Nida is a chiyuv karas. So therefore, it's aser. So you see from this Rishon, Rav Shlomo of London, that a woman who is in Nida is not allowed to do something which may cause her to become pregnant even from the Zera of her own husband. It's Karis, the Maisa Ishus. A man to Maisa, but the baby is not a Mamzer. Normally when the Maisa Karis is done, the baby is a Mamzer. The only exception is a Nida. If a man is Ba on his wife when she is in Nida, it's a Maisa Karis, but the baby is not
the
Mamzer.
The physical act that makes it the Karis. It's not the fact that she becomes pregnant, but that's the Karis.
So the question here is, according to Rabbeinu Peretz, there would not be a prohibition. It would appear. That's the question. What would Rabbeinu Peretz say about the halacha of the Rav Shlomo of London? According to Rabbeinu Peretz, l'chora, there should be absolutely no prohibition for a woman to bathe in the tub of water that her husband may have deposited zera. Another person, yes. Because her husband, what's the problem? Because her husband, even if she does become pregnant, so we know who the father is, we know who the mother is, and it's not called the Maisa of Erva. She is not a Maisa, because even though she's a Nida, there is no physical contact, there's absolutely nothing wrong. It's only, but Rabbeinu Shlomo of London says, no, it's Asur. it's usur, because it's as if Anita's having marital relations with her husband. So we see from Arishan, Ashita, that even when there is a transfer of zera without physical contact, it's considered to be a maisa ishus, which the consequence would be that if the go take from a goy would be equivalent to having a goy have relations with one's wife, which is clearly usur according to every opinion that can possibly be. So we'll come to that in a few moments. So bottom line is, this is one reason why many Paiskim say, yeah, this is the Sat Merav, the Chida also quotes of Shlomo of London. And then there are other Hashkafic issues. For example, the Baba Varebi, he writes, it says in the Pasik, Al Kain Yazov Ish es Ovid es Imo, V'dovak b'ishtoi v'hoyu levosar echad. V'dovak b'ishtoi. V'hoyu levosar echad, the Pasik says, they have a child. The child is the product of V'dovak b'ishtoi. How can you have a child? How can you be permitted to have a child when you're not going to go through the process of what it says in the beginning of the Torah, v'dovak b'ishtoi v'hayu levasar echa, when it's being done in such a way, it goes against the whole blueprint of the Torah. And that's not a halachic ray, that's more of a maimon chazal. Other pasuk, other being, this is a very interesting ray, there are a lot of people about this, the pasuk in Parash Achremos, it says the words, v'el eshes amisicha, the wording of the pasuk is very strange. To the wife of your friend, do not give shechavtecha lezora. The connotation is, do not transfer the zera to the eshes amisicha in any fashion. It doesn't say don't. I don't want to be too graphic. It doesn't say don't
have sex.
That far I didn't think to go. It doesn't say in explicit terms. The way the pasuk was worded, according to some of the commentators, implies even the transfer of the zera to eshes amisicha is considered to be a maisa avera. All right, that's subject to pilpul debate. It says in the pasuk lo siya kodesh. So some want to say that's also included. It says in Chazal, say ein hashchina shura al al havadoim. If you don't know who the father is, there's a lack of shchina. Is it proper to bring into Klal Yisrael people lechatchila who lack yichus Yisrael to know who their father is? These are more hashkafic issues. These are not so much halachic issues. The bottom line is, everyone has another pasuk, another take on it, where they basically, when people came to ask them the shaila, that their husband cannot have children, they want to take zera from a bank, from a non-Jew, and become pregnant, every single one of these paskin down the line, paskin usser. Rav Moshe paskind mutter. And when it's done today, and it is done today, we know that it's done today, it's with the psak of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Moshe Feinstein never backed down. There's no mistake about it. What he said, it was clear as day, he holds that his mother. Now, by extension, this was the purpose of the radio show, and this obviously raised everyone's eyebrows, is what about single women having children? In fact, in Eretz Yisrael today, there is an organization. He has the whole story here. I think they say they already have 50 children already have been produced by single mothers. There's an organization called Kayama Moms. Okay? Dina Pinner of Kayama Moms talks motherhood for single Orthodox women. It says here already 48 babies have been produced by single mothers who, for whatever reason, have not yet found their zivug. They have not yet found their husband, and they don't want to wait. They're coming to an age where it's getting harder and harder to have children. They want to have children. So there is an organization, Eretz Yisrael, obviously extremely controversial. That's not even the word to talk. And they have Rabbanim. They have good Rabbanim. Good Rabbanim. Don't judge a person until Ein Don Adam Ad Shiyam B'Mukaymai, the tsar that these girls have, having a hard time finding Shidduchim. They want to have children. And there are Rabbanim that allow them to do this. They have a whole organization. 48 children have been produced by single mothers. Exactly this way. Exactly, they take zera from a non-Jew. Exactly this way. Well, exactly what we said. Rav Moshe Psak.
The
the sperm bank. From
sperm bank, exactly. From a guy, 100%. Because then yichus. You don't know who the father is, so then they
who's my
daddy? That's even worse. Even the guy don't allow that because it creates.
It creates
confusion. They're not going to allow that. The Rabbeinu Peretz doesn't allow that either. Because even if you'll know who the father is, you know who the father is. Rabbeinu Peretz, we know who the man is. He was our guest. We'll tell everyone. We'll write it down on the birth certificate. If the father is not raising this child very quickly, will people forget who the father is? It will lead to confusion. So according to Rabbeinu Peretz, it's not permitted to use the zera of a Jew. Because of confusion of a shayla of arayas. Of a non-Jew, Rabbeinu Peretz, it's Rabbi Moshe says, it will be mutter. Rabbi Moshe only was matter for a non-Jew. And this indeed is exactly what these single women do. So he has a whole panel, he had of Rabbanim, what they think about this. All the Rabbanim in Brooklyn, what they think about this. So they all basically said the same thing. Rav Herschel Schachter, Rav David Cohn, Rav Mendel Shafran, and then they asked Dr. David Pelkowitz what they think about this. So Rav Herschel Schachter, okay, my father's first cousin, he writes usser. Why? Because it's interesting, they're not really giving mekoros. They all say the same thing is, you're not allowed lechatchila to bring into this world a yosim. You ever hear such a swara? You're not allowed to bring into this world a person who is a yosam. The Torah writes over and over, lager, l'almana, a yosam. Mm. A yosam is a pathetic person. It doesn't have much of a chance. You're not allowed to bring a yosam and to cause the damage, the psychological damage of not knowing who your father is. It's not a very good idea. And he doesn't really say more than that. All he writes is, Herschel Schachter writes, yes, it's permissible. Herschel Schacht, yes, it's permissible, but you're creating a yosam. Okay, the child is going to wonder who the father is. The woman feels terrible. She has no family, but now she's going to create a child who's going to be a yosam. And the child is going to wonder, maybe the mother had an affair with someone. It's not all recommended. The Gedolim said it's not recommended. I know in Dr. Abraham Sefer about halacha and medicine, Abraham, he says it doesn't make sense that a single girl should have an official nation in order to have a child. It is not right. Okay, period. He said this publicly on the radio, on January 28th, 2017, only a few months ago, very recently, he interviewed him. Rav David Cohn over here. Rav David Cohn, if you want to find the heter, he's the address to go for heter. Rav David Cohn is such a genius, such a Talmud Chacham, like none other, second to none. He can find you a heter for any. My father once had a very, very tough shayla. And he was amazing, the brilliance of how he was able to find a solution to an impossible halachic challenge. If there's someone that's going to find you a heter, it's Rav David Cohn. And he writes here, he says publicly, unfortunately, as a Rav who deals with human beings, he's seen it all. The tzaras that he's seen is like none other. I know that there are many women who have this situation. I maintain that there is an Isser Gomor. This is a quotation from him. Don't scream at me. It's an Isser Gomor. It is an act of selfishness, really, to create a yosam. And he goes on and on and on. And he goes on over here. In any event, I feel it is an Isser Gomor. That's his shita. Okay, Rav Mendel Shafran. What did he write? He basically says the same thing. He basically says the same thing,
so
that you're creating a yosam.
Couldn't adopt for the same reason?
What?
Adopt,
the baby already came into the world. He didn't create the baby. Someone's got to take care of the baby. Now that's already different. The baby's already here. He's already a yosam. You didn't make him a yosam. Now, this is fascinating. Then he interviewed Dr. David Pelkowitz. Okay, he's a psychologist. Okay, psychologist, a very famous psychologist. Today he's all over, he invited all over the world to talk about psychology. So you know what he says? Listen, he's not a rough. He says, His father was Ralph from the White Shul. So he says, I've looked into this. Look what he says. Very shocking what he says. They've done studies on this throughout the world. Children of single mothers, are they and how they're well adjusted. So he says, all of the studies I've seen, they're just as good, if not better, than children who come from a father and a mother. In fact, many times from broken homes, you have a father who's abusive, a father's a divorce, there's fighting. Many times, there's only one parent, the child comes out better. The child's just as good, as long as there's money, as long as the mother can support him, as long as there's this support. It's not an old thing. In every study done that I've seen, both here and Eretz Yisrael, though these are not large-scale studies, around 50 or 60 people in each comparison group, the kids of single mothers seem to, for the most part, to be doing just as well, if not better, than the others. Okay, and he goes through it. Now he goes, a lot of these studies are still new, so we don't know yet the effects when they're going to be 50 years old. Like today, everyone, someone 90 years old, you still blame your kindergarten teacher. You know, that's the minute today. To blame your kindergarten teacher, that's why you're unhappy in life.
I have to wonder if some of those studies are biased from the outset.
All right, whatever they are. So the bottom... So he's not challenging what the poskim say. But he's saying that, he's saying it is a problem. They're all saying, all the poskim are saying that you're creating a yosem. You got a point. The Torah talks about a yosem. A yosem, you should know, a yosem, I learned this myself. I can tell you from own experience. A yosem doesn't mean you don't have what to eat. A yosem doesn't mean you don't have food. I always grew up with the assumption, what is a yosem, what is an almana? It means nebuch, there's no welfare, there's no social security, and you're on the street, and you're sitting there in the corner, and people are spitting on you, and you're wearing wigs. That's why I thought a yosem was. So you'll say, in America, there's no yosem, Baruch Hashem. In America, there are organizations, there is social services, there's safety nets. It's not what a yosem is. I live my own. You know what a yosem means? There is no one rooting for you. That's really what it comes down to. There's no one rooting when you're a person when you succeed, you go home and you tell your mother, you know what I did? Your mother really has hana. She's your fan. She's rooting for you. In your mind, deep down in your mind, you know that your parents are rooting for you. That changes your whole outlook on life. Who mourns for the death of a person? Either a parent or a child. No one else really cares. If Rachmanu Litzlan, a person leaves this world, people really care? Yeah, they care. They go to Menachem Avil, make memorials, they give money. Who really cares about you? Who really feels your pain? It's either a parent or a child. And probably a parent much, much more than a child. So a person does not have a father. Okay, he has a nice bike, and he has Afikom president, and he has everything you could possibly want. There is still something missing.
Yes.
There's still, even though his father may have been abusive, his father may have been wicked, his father may have been, there is something you cannot deny about having two parents. Deep down inside, deep down, they're rooting for you. You know, even if they're sitting in prison somewhere, in a max security prison, right? And they've done who knows what, because why are they in the max security prison? Because they're trying to kill you, right? They abused you. They molested you, and they're locked up. But you know something. Don't. There's something there.
Especially there's
something. Okay, so Mitzad Echad, David Cohen, they're all saying you're not allowed to create people like this. They're not giving you concrete psukim. They're talking Mitzad Hashkafa. Why are you not allowed to do this? David Pelquist is saying, I don't know. Studies seem to indicate that it's no big deal.
So what if the Rabbanut in Israel allows it?
I don't know what they allow. Bottom line, to summarize, there's a halachic issue. This is a new thing today. Rav Moshe never fathomed asking Rav Moshe asking a shayla about single mothers. That was never even a havamina. Okay, that was never such a havamina. Rav Moshe dealing with parents, the child's going to have kol magagel yosam sechbeso kilo yoldo. There's going to be a father. There's going to be a mother kilo yoldo. Halachic shayla. Rav Moshe is matir primarily based upon the Rambam, Rabbeinu Peretz. Period. All the gedolim, all the
only matter individual cases that he.
Rav Moshe was only matter for couples. Rav Moshe was matter for.
Came to him with the shaila.
Came to him. He came to him. He wrote later on after a lot of confusion. He was only matter in very rare situations, only where the wife is bitsar. He quotes over here. Rachel and said, "Havali banim, v'im ayin meisa anochi." What did Yaakov say? Hatachas l'kim anochi. Not my problem. What Hashem say? Hashem said to Yaakov, that's how you talk to your wife. You know the tzar that she's in. How dare you? Hashem sided with Rachel. It's a very powerful Maimon Chazal. How do you deal with that for a single mother? Rav Moshe was matur in halacha, Rav Rambam Beinu Peretz, based for couples in unique situations. All the gedolim of the time across the board, b'li yotzei min haklal, held alfi halacha. Halacha, they paskin aser to take zerav a goy, certainly a zerav a Jew to do this. Okay, it's done today. There's no question about it. Now we're entering phase two. Phase two is where you don't even want a husband. You just want to have a single mother do it alone. It's the same Shaila. So is that Aser? In Eretz Yisrael, look, there are 48 people that exist in such a situation in Eretz Yisrael. Who is it Aser? Is it Mutter? Ein donin chaveroi ad shiamim. What? Eretz Yisrael, he quotes. He has his name. A Rashi from Ranana. I never heard of him. I don't know. Rav Yuval Charlau. You know who he is? Rosh Yeshiva of the Orot Shaul Hezder Yeshiva in Ranana. I don't know what to say.
There are 2 points. Number one is
halacha.
If you're a couple, whether you have a child or not, naturally is not in your hands, right? It's Rabbi Nishan makes the choice.
What does that mean?
Maybe you're doing something more, but you're doing it derachteva. If you're single, it's strictly your own will to have a child.
Havoli banim v'yim ayin.
Was because she had a vow.
There's no man, no one to marry. There's no one to marry. There's a crisis. There's no man to marry. What do you want from me?
That's not the if you. There's always a man to marry.
No, it's not true. It's not true.
The second thing is that most of these Rabbi Shem have tremendous assets with Rabbi